The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fence side.
Good morning, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fence Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, all of our social media outlets, as well as the Fan Sided Network and FinFanatic.com. Fellow Paul and I are follow me on at Brian Kat NFL and Paul at Fanatic underscore pick on Twitter. So we're 1 week and a little bit more here removed from the NFL draft, Paul. We're going to put some finishing touches on the Dolphins 2021 draft. You know, now that we've have a clear mind a week later, we're going to talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, mostly positive. It's been overwhelmingly positive feedback here by most draft pundits, Paul, across the NFL.
It really has. And it's absolutely crazy to me. Travis Wingfield tweeted out a breakdown that Daniel Jeremiah did that had the Dolphins second or third in total overall value based on his top 150 big board. And just for fun, I actually took that list and took, because it had the number of picks as well on it, and I broke it down as value per pick based on Jeremiah's big board. And Miami was clear and away the number one team as far as the value that they got in the draft based on his big board, which is pretty impressive.
Breaking news, Dolphins fans. This important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your pubic service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they've successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the USA and Canada. The new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we're one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer just for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I'm blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. The advanced ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is so good that it almost seems as if Manscaped worked with Elon Musk's engineers to ensure your testes are as safe as possible. Did I mention wireless charging? The Lawnmower 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. The multifunctional on-off switch can engage a travel lock created for people who like to travel, and it gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Remember, get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code FANSIDED20. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Yeah, when you look at the players they took, I mean, Jaylen Waddle was number 5 on his big board. Jalen Phillips was 21. Javon Holland, 49, Liam Eichenberg, 47, and Hunter Long, 90. So, but you look at ESPN, I mean, if for people that like Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, I like them more than most. Mel Kiper had Hunter Long as his 42nd player in the draft. So you take a look at his big board. As far as he's concerned, the Dolphins got 5 of the top 51 players, with Waddle at 5, Jalen Phillips at 17, Holland at 56, or excuse me, Holland at 50, Eichenberg at 51, and Hunter Long at 42. So, yeah, it has been definitely revered across ESPN, NFL.com, a lot of the different outlets, mostly because the Dolphins, you know, had top picks and had so many picks here in the first two rounds. But Paul, before we take a deeper dive into the Dolphins draft class here,
and Kat, I want to jump in on that real quick too. There was one other comment that I really liked. I guess Maurice Jones-Drew used to coach Holland when he was a kid, and he came out on NFL Network and said that he feels that Holland is actually the best defensive player in this draft, bar none, which is a big claim, even if you used to coach the kid. So I'm
MJD did a mock draft about 2 months ago and had Javon Holland going 10th overall to Dallas. Like, that's pretty – but he definitely thinks highly of him. MJD with his predictions tends to go off the rails a little bit. But, yeah, he thinks very highly of him. A lot of people out there think very highly of Javon Holland. And I think that if he had played this past year – and had as many interceptions as he did in 2018 and 2019, we definitely would have been talking about a first-round pick when it comes to him. So, yeah, but he's going to have big shoes to fill now because it looks like he's going to be taking over at free safety for Bobby McCain, who was cut this past week, something I don't think we were expecting. The Dolphins cut Bobby McCain, save $5.66 million against the cap, and then also turn around and sign Jason McCourty to a one-year deal. So your thoughts, Paul?
Well, I had tweeted out shortly after the draft that I expected the Dolphins to make a flurry of moves starting this week and over the next few weeks based on the roster they have, the fact that they do have some tradable players that I don't think are going to make the roster. But when I said that, I expected Bobby to be here for at least another year. I mean, it's very rare that you start with the captain of your defense. But it's, you know, their secondary is overloaded still, given the fact that they, you know, have Xavien Howard, Byron Jones, Javon Holland, Brandon Jones. Now they've signed Jason McCourty. Like, I mean, you start running down this list, Eric Rowe, like, they have a packed secondary, and I think Fegelum may be the next to go, even though I barely count him as a member of the secondary.
Right, yeah, I didn't expect McCain, I expected him to be here for another year too, but I looked at McCain and Eric Rowe with the money that they're making, and then thinking, are Brandon Jones and Javon Holland really going to be third and fourth safeties, given that, you know, given the investment the Dolphins put into him? I mean, Brandon Jones had a really good rookie year, was, what, 81st overall as a pick last year. Javon Holland was 36th this year in the second round. Those are high investments for pure safeties. So it doesn't shock me, but I really wish they hadn't cut McCain, because the way I look at it, he is a good free safety and got moved there last year out of necessity. I didn't agree with it, but he had a really good year. He's a good free safety and an even better nickelback. I would pay $5.6 million for that. That's what it comes down to for me.
I thought he was going to end up going back to the nickel position. In all honesty, if either Brandon or Javon Holland was ready to start right away. But the Jason McCourty signing did make it no longer make sense. And then the other thing, too, and this is something Antoine Staley had mentioned the other day, is they said they were going to release McCain, but I don't believe they've officially done so yet, which means they're hoping somebody comes in with an offer of anything for him so that they can trade him instead of actually releasing him. Because you remember, like, when they released KVN, they announced it on a Wednesday, but they didn't actually release him until, like, the following Monday.
Right, right. And we'll see if anything happens there. Typically, it doesn't. You know, if somebody comes in with a seventh-round pick, then, you know, or an offer of a, you know, sixth or seventh-round pick, I think the Dolphins absolutely take it. I mean, I think we saw that a couple months ago with Isaiah Ford, where, you know, Dolphins announced they were going to release him. And then the Patriots come in with an offer of – and now the Dolphins are going to have the Patriots' sixth-round pick next year. As a result of that Isaiah Ford trade. So, yeah, we'll see about that. The Dolphins signed Jason McCourty, and my first reaction was, really? You know, 34 years old, cornerback/safety. But I don't mind it if we judge it independent from the Bobby McCain deal, because this is a one-year contract. We don't have the official terms on that right now, but more than likely, this is going to be a one-year. Hey, show up to training camp. You know, we'll give you a signing bonus of, $250,000. And if for nothing else, he gets into camp, works with these younger defensive backs like Noah Igbinoghene and Brandon Jones and Javon Holland, shows them, you know, really how to work. And maybe it would be a good sign, actually, if he did not make the roster. It would have shown that a lot of these younger players, these younger defensive backs, stepped up.
Absolutely. I don't love or hate the McCourty signing. It makes some sense. And really, you know, like you said, he's a leader that can come in and show these guys, these young guys, a little bit of how and what Flores wants from a defense.
And if anything gets sticky with the Xavien Howard contract there, as of right now, we don't expect it, but he did hire a new agent. Typically, when you do that and you hire David Cantor, you're doing it because you want another contract. Maybe it gives him a little bit of flexibility at defensive back from there. So, yeah, it's fine to go with Jason McCourty. We'll see how that pans out. So we're now, Paul, a week away from the NFL draft, or a week removed from the NFL draft, I should say. And, you know, there were – in the second round, I think we were a little bit frustrated at the time. I've come around a little bit on that. You know, they take Javon Holland at 36. Then they trade up from 50 to 42, give up a third rounder next year to draft offensive tackle Liam Eichenberg. So, you know, 1 week removed from the draft, what are a few things that you're thinking now you've had a week to sleep on it?
I actually love this draft. We're a lot stronger team. And it's the offensive line is definitely improved, both as far as, you know, from left to right, and depth. My worry is still at center. You're banking a lot right now on either somebody who hasn't managed to crack the starting lineup truly, and Michael Dieter, or a guy that last we knew forgot how to snap the football in Matt Skura. Who Skura, before forgetting how to snap the football, was an All-Pro center, and it's
was he?
He was pretty close. I mean, he was in line for a very big payday at center.
He was the arrow was pointing up for him last year. I don't think he ever made a Pro Bowl or was an All-Pro, but
no. But I mean, he's All-Pro quality center. I mean, you look at what he did the year before, and you know, before his injury, and he was going to be getting a Corey Linsley type contract. I mean, it just, you know, but regardless, it's. You know, that's the one hole I still see on this team potentially. I'm curious to see if they start teaching Jesse Davis to snap the football again like they started to last offseason. I like this line a lot better with Jesse Davis snapping the football at this point than Matt Skura, because I don't trust Skura. It's outside of that, the secondary, ridiculously deep. The linebacking core is improved. The defensive line is insane. Pass rush, I'm good. As long as Jalen Phillips can keep from getting another concussion, we're in good shape. The receiver room is so ridiculous, like it's almost a meme in and of itself, with, you know, I think 7 tight end / fullbacks and 14-15 wide receivers right now, and there's some really quality dudes in that room. So it's running back, I like Doakes, and I think he's the perfect complement to Gaskin.
Yeah, I look a week later here, and I agree with the draft pundits here that the Dolphins had one of the best drafts, and a lot of that had to do with the picks that they had coming in. But I like overall, I like who they took. You know, when you take a look kind of at the positives, the Dolphins have shown here that at running back and at center, they have no respect for the position. And that's fine. Like, I don't think that's a bad thing, because you look, if you want to take two of the most lowest thought of positions in the NFL, it's running back and it's center. And if you want to see the proof of that, see what they get paid out there in free agency. Other than Corey Linsley, nobody got really paid anything. David Andrews, what, it got 5 years, $20 million as the number two center. The Dolphins signed Matt Skura 1 year, $1.5 million or whatever it was. At running back, I mean, besides Aaron Jones, nobody got paid. So I wish Javonte Williams still had been the pick at 36. I wish he had fallen a spot further, but I get it. And what I like about what the Dolphins have done really the last 2 years, they've drafted quarterback, left tackle, cornerback, defensive end, and wide receiver. To me, those are the top five impact positions in the NFL. And those are the five most thought of highest paid out there in the free agent market too. So I think that makes a lot of sense there. So they draft high impact players at high impact positions. That's what they did with Waddle, the most explosive player in the draft at the wide receiver spot, and did just in terms of speed. And as far as I'm concerned, far and away defensive end one in Jalen Phillips, who, by the way, the word was the Colts were going to take a 21 had he fallen over Quiddy Pay, and also the Broncos were trying to trade back up into the first round to get Jalen Phillips. And they were going to trade up a long way to get him. So I love the Phillips pick. I think that's a phenomenal risk versus reward scenario. And I think the rest of the NFL agreed.
Yeah. And to piggyback off of that, Javon Holland and just the absolute multitude of uses you can have for him in the secondary, it is a great selection to be that Bobby McCain replacement potentially. And in addition to that, we both shook our heads when they moved up to get Liam Eichenberg, but I think he had gone 1,231 snaps with like literally single digits as far as pressures are concerned, and I believe there wasn't a sack in that last 1,231 snaps, which is insane. And he plays with attitude. And, you know, he went up against the best of the draft for the last 3 years at Notre Dame as far as pass rushers go, like, and shut them down, which, you know, it's at the end of the day, like, I know we talked a lot about arm measurements for players, and I know Eichenberg has short arms for the position, but there are times where the football ability outweighs the measurables, and Eichenberg is, if you take the shorter arms out of the equation, he has it in spades. And he's not the only offensive tackle with short arms this year. I mean, Penei Sewell, Elijah Vera Tucker, you know, some of these guys that went in the first round are definitely short arm guys. And
if I can jump in there too, yeah. what I'd say though too is, you know, Sewell had shorter arms than we thought. They're still over, you know, they were 33 and a fourth. Eichenberg was 32 and a half. And some people may say, well, who cares? But then somebody has to explain to me, why does every offensive tackle that's good in the NFL have 33 inch arms or more? Why have players who have come into the NFL like Forrest Lamp, who has had injury problems, but also has short arms and moved inside to guard? Why is that the case? But I agree with you on Eichenberg's production. You know, looking at a quote here from CK Parrott, too, he went up against Azeez Ojulari and Malik Herring from Georgia, Josh Uche and Quiddy Pay from Michigan, Chris Rumpf, and their other fifth round pick there, I'm not going to pronounce his last name, from Duke, Janarius Robinson and Josh Kando from Florida State, Rashad Weaver and Patrick Jones from Pittsburgh. So he was battle tested over the last 2 years and didn't allow a sack. That's I think a great thing. And I think the backup thing with Eichenberg too is that say that he doesn't work out at the right tackle spot, I have very little doubt that this guy's going to be able to move inside and be a good guard. He reminds me a lot of Justin Pugh, who the Giants took in the first round of the 2013 draft, who did have short arms, did play some tackle, but eventually got kicked inside to guard.
Yeah. And so, Kat, real quick, I want to go to something from our chat, because I know we talked about Skura. And K-Dot asked, you know, what Skura did for us to not trust him, and if he messed up that bad, what was it, four or five snaps he either sailed or skipped or what have you in such a ridiculously one or two game span, and went from being a guy that was going to get Lindsley money to a guy that basically was almost going to go out of the league potentially in a span of like 2 weeks. That's how bad it was. I don't know if you want to add to that.
Right. He had two really, really bad games at center this past year. And just to go back, yeah, to 2019, he was getting better and better and better as a pro. And he was, I don't know about Lindsley money, but not far off. I mean, yeah. he, you know, we were talking about, you know, he was, you know, supposed to, at the time, was one of the most highly thought of centers in the game. And then in 2020, at the end of 2019, tears his ACL. And then in the 2020 season, he doesn't have a good year and has two just absolute monstrosities of a game, snapping the football to the point where he had to be taken out of the lineup and moved to guard. So he forgot how to snap the ball. So people could say, well, if we take away all of 2020, you know, he's still a really good player, but he's 29, forgot to snap the ball last year and looked terrible when he was on the field. I mean, my hope is that between he and Dieter, the position is not one that's going to harm drives for the Dolphins. And I'm not quite sure that it won't.
Yeah. It's center may be an overlooked position, but there is no position in the NFL that can really truly ruin your offense more right from the rip than the center position. It's the shortest path to the quarterback. If you can't block, if you can't snap the ball, it doesn't, I mean, if you've got linemen that can hold people for 3 seconds and your quarterback's got to spend the first two looking for the ball, there's a very good chance he's going to get sacked. It can ruin your handoff timing. If he's got to chase snaps or, you know, really try his butt off to handle snaps, now his timing with his receivers is all screwed up. And, oh, yeah, your center calls a lot of the protections up there. And if he gets in his head and his timing is even slightly off, guess what? Let's look at an increase in offsides penalties and an increase in holding penalties because your quarterback's chasing the damn ball around.
On the other side, if Skura cleans up what was wrong last year, you've got a bargain at 1 year, $1.5 million. So that's the other side of it. And that's, you know, but I go back to, why didn't you just re-sign Ted Karras, and where you've got a, you know, middle of the pack center and you're not taking any risk and you don't even have to worry about center in the draft and we're not even having this conversation, you know? So that's where I've got a couple of problems there. But looking back at the Dolphins draft, as far as just the positives, what I like is that, again, they swung for the fences with Waddle and Jalen Phillips in the first two rounds. And I think both of those players can completely change the way the Dolphins play football on offense and on defense. Waddle is a natural separator. And one thing too, that I think it was Greg Cosell that said that we maybe didn't touch on enough, is Waddle is so fast before the ball is even in the air. And that changes so many things with how NFL secondaries are going to play the Dolphins wide receivers. So you have Fuller and Waddle who can separate. You've got Kosicki and Parker who are the contested catch guys. That's a great combo there. And you could spread the field, and I think that's the way the Dolphins have to do it. Defensively, one thing the Dolphins didn't have last year with Shaq Lawson is, yeah, they had somebody who could, you know, really take the left tackle and push him back, but they didn't have somebody that could really get to the quarterback. Now they have the option to go blitz crazy like they did last year, or just to rush with their front four with Waddle and Ogbutt off the edge.
They do. And on top of that as well, you mean with Phillips and Ogbutt.
What did I say?
You said Waddle. Trust me, I think Waddle could get to the quarterback faster than anybody. But
yes, Phillips and Ogbutt. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, it's but I mean, Phillips just has such a ridiculous motor. He was a steal at 18 if he can stay healthy. One thing I want to go back to as well, though, is one of the guys we skipped over there, is I love the Hunter Long pick more and more and more. He's a smart player. He's a better receiving tight end than anybody this side of Mike Gesicki. in this offense. And if you look back at last season, the number of catches that went to Shaheen, Smythe, you know, and everybody else we trotted out at that second wide receiver position, or second tight end position, Miami used their second tight end a tremendous amount, and now they've got somebody that not only is going to be a far better receiver than anybody they trotted out there at that second tight end spot going out into those patterns is almost the forgotten dude. He can have a chance to do well enough to take some of the pressure off Gesicki. And if those two are doing what they should in the middle of the field, and you've got Parker, Waddle, and Fuller out there taking the top off the defense and running crossers, etc., they're going to be open a lot more. And you add to that, and I love that Flo actually said this because it's something we've said on the show. If you've got tight ends occupying safeties and linebackers, etc., and you've got these speed guys that can take the top off of defense and are forcing folks to come after them, if you want to play the run, you're going to have Will Fuller, Jalen Waddle, and Devontae Parker in one-on-one scenarios. If you want to play those tight ends, guess what? You can run the ball, and you've got those guys still in one-on-one scenarios. And if you want to really over-account for them, Hunter Long and Mike Gesicki are both devastating in the seam. So they're going to force defenses to pick their poison. And I love that. And Hunter Long's like a completionary piece for that.
I was irate when they took Hunter Long at 81. I just didn't get it.
Because Aaron Rodgers when the Packers take a corner.
Yeah. This is better than that. And we'll get to that too, because we're going to talk about the other drafts we liked and disliked too. But I like him more than I did on draft day, I'd say. I still wouldn't have gone tight end at that spot. And the reason being is I think Durham Smythe and Adam Shaheen are more than capable pieces for what the Dolphins want to do. Now, Gesicki and Smythe are free agents at the end of the year. But my thought is, okay, go sign a Levine Tololo. Go sign an O.J. Howard, if that's the case. I don't think there needs to be a succession plan for your second tight end. If this is a talk about free agency here. Now, if going back to what you said there, Paul, Smythe and Shaheen played a lot of snaps last year. And if they were unsatisfied with what they got, more unsatisfied than we thought, then the pick makes a little bit more sense. Because Hunter Long, not a lot of holes in his game. I mean, he led all tight ends last year in catches in college football. 57 catches, I believe. And, you know, he's 6'5", 250. He has great hands. He's a well-rounded kind of old-school type of tight end. Now, he doesn't have a lot of experience blocking in line, but physically I think he absolutely can do it. So I think they got a good football player here. But in all honesty, too, at the beginning of day two, for all the mock drafters out there, at the beginning of day two, if I had mocked that the Dolphins got Javon Holland, Liam Eichenberg, and Hunter Long and gave up a third-round pick next year, you probably would have said, a little bit underwhelming, if we're being honest.
Yeah, but looking back on it after the fact, seeing how all the pieces fit together, I was probably higher on Hunter Long, mainly because I do view him as an upgrade at the second tight end spot. And you take Hunter Long and you put him on 24, 25 teams in the NFL, and he's your number one tight end. And that's what I think of this kid. I mean, is he going to be your number one tight end over Kelsey or Waller? No. Like, and a handful of others? At least not yet. Yeah, he's your number two tight end, but you really have two number one tight ends. And you look at what the Patriots did when they drafted Gronk all those years ago now, and Hernandez, and, you know, before all, you know, the murder stuff.
All the murder stuff.
But, I mean, you look at what they were able to do with those two on the field together.
And hold on, let me stop there before anyone look. That is, we're not joking. It's just the way that Paul said it. So I don't want to get any messages here of, oh, how dare you say it. No.
Go ahead and tweet at me. I don't care.
Just the way Paul said it. Go
at Fanatic Pick on Twitter. Go for it. But anyway.
But let's stop there. They're after you get past Kittle, Travis Kelce, and Waller. There is it's hard to separate the fourth tight end from the 25th tight end in the NFL. I mean, Pitts will probably be the fourth best tight end, if not the first. He looks the part, and I don't see why he couldn't be another Hayden Hurst type of tight end, guy who can block in line, guy who can split out wide. Yeah, I get it. His catch radius, though.
That's the thing. That's another thing I love with him. He's got deceptive speed. He's not gonna go out and start running a 100 meter dash in track, but he's got deceptive speed, and his catch radius is insane, which isn't something you say a lot for a tight end. And when you've got somebody who, even Ryan Fitzpatrick has come out and said the thing he loves about Tua is his elite accuracy, and then you've got a tight end with tremendous catch radius. And he's your second tight end, so he's not even drawing the lion's share of the coverage, and you've got the receivers on the outside. Hunter Long's going to be sneakily open because he runs some really good routes, and you watch his BC tape, and as the guy, he was still getting tremendously open. Now imagine when he's going up against your worst coverage linebacker, or your okay coverage safety, he finds the holes in the zone. So with that catch radius, with Tua's elite accuracy, he's going to have a blankie at the very worst. We got Tua a blankie out there, which will be great for his development.
That's comforting.
It is. Got him a blankie. A nice, cozy, comforting blankie
I think you've just provided a very romantic version of a...
Okay, oh, there's going to be candles and biscuits and wine.
Hey! If nobody's covering him, he's really good. Actually, at Boston College,
He's good at making sure nobody's covering him.
He was the focal point at Boston College. But overall, now when you look at it, is at tight end they've got Gesicki, Hunter Long, Smythe, Adam Shaheen. Who knows? They could trade off. I mean, I think another team would be smart to throw a sixth or seventh round pick at the Dolphins for Smythe right now. Shaheen. I agree. And then at wide receiver, I mean, you're going to have Parker, Waddle, Fuller, and then you still got the Lynn Bowden and Jakeem Grants and everything. So now Tua has the supporting cast at wide receiver and tight end to spread the field and do what he does best. And one thing that I hated on these shows and these podcasts this week is this quote: no more excuses for Tua. Like, what? Do we have to remind people that a year ago today that people didn't even think he was, it was questionable about whether or not he was even going to get on the field in 2020. So
he was still learning how to walk again. I mean, it's like he was, I think he was barely off crutches. Like, give me a break. Like, come on.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And so, yeah, we're gonna do a show here too about an upcoming show as well about the other draft classes that we did like here and didn't like. Looking at some undrafted free agents, Paul, that the Dolphins signed, not as many as previous years. I remember we did a whole show on this. I think maybe two shows a couple of years ago in 2019. That's where Preston Williams came from and Shaq Calhoun and a lot of other players there too. So, they signed guard Robert Jones from Middle Tennessee State, fullback Carl Tucker from Alabama, defensive tackle Jerome Johnson from Indiana, and cornerback Jalen Askew from forgetting the name. Was it Vanderbilt?
Georgia Tech.
Thank you. I had the colors right, but yeah. So Robert Jones is somebody that I expected to get drafted here. I thought he played really well in the Shrine Bowl. He was the right tackle there for Middle Tennessee State. Good strength, good balance, not a lot of flexibility. It kind of sounds like a Dolphins guard, where they don't sign a lot of times or go after, the big time athletes. They just want somebody who can block the person in front of them. That sounds like Robert Jones. I think he has a good shot to make the roster. I even think he has a better chance maybe than Larnell Coleman, the Dolphins' seventh round pick.
He does. And Miami really made sure that they got him by doing an unprecedented thing that you only see teams do when, you know, they're begging somebody to sign with them, and that's they guaranteed his full 130,000 UDFA salary, I think it was. So, which is a lot to do, especially with limited cap room right now. I actually really, the ones that made me curious, Jaitlin Askew, I think, could end up being the Fedulum punter, the one that kicks Fedulum off the team. He's really, really good on special teams. And then Jones is an interesting, or not Jones, I'm sorry, the fullback there.
Carl Tucker
was a very interesting one. You know, after going to North Carolina, he went to the Crimson Tide. He can be a receiving threat out of the backfield at that fullback spot. And all signs with the Seathan Carter signing, with grabbing Carl Tucker as an undrafted free agent, with, you know, having a couple of tight ends that can play kind of that H-back fullback type role. And, you know, you look at, they tried with the names escaping me right now to get him on the roster and held him way longer than anybody expected for somebody that barely could crack it. I think Miami's going to be moving to some, at least some packages that require that true fullback role. And it wouldn't shock me to occasionally see Jared Doakes up in front of Miles Gaskin. Or your power package potentially be Carl Tucker with Jared Doakes behind him. It's Miami can do some interesting, fun things with the personnel that they've got on this 90-man roster, and I'm intrigued to see it. And then Johnson, don't underrate him. It's I mean, Hal Habib had an article about him, or a little quick write-up on him. He was named Indiana's most outstanding lineman the past two seasons. He gets pressure upfield from the defensive tackle spot. He was second team All-Pro, I believe, or All-Big Ten in 2020. And, you know, he's a three technique, and he just keeps going and pushing towards the play and really tends to get a little bit off balance at times, but at the end of the day, that's something that they can work on with him, and he might be a guy that can come in, at least on pass rush downs from that interior, and give you some pressure.
Yeah, I, as a pro prospect, Jerome Johnson, you know, looks like, I think he'll challenge maybe Benito Jones for a roster spot here, or maybe Jason Strobridge, mm-hmm. And, you know, I think he's a good run stopper. He from what I saw, I watched a couple of games on him. Good run stopper, good strength, but 6'2", 295. And so that might cause a problem for him. I don't see a lot of pass rush potential in the NFL, but in college, he had 13.5 sacks over 4 years. Pretty good production for a four-year starter. So, yeah, I think the battle you're going to look for is Jerome Johnson against Benito Jones. Probably advantage Jones. I think he was a better prospect and has a year in the Dolphins system. Jaitlin Askew, I wasn't too impressed with what I saw, but he's an undrafted free agent, you know, 5'9", 180 pounds, small and plays smaller. That's how I looked at him, and not all that fast, 4.5 40. So I don't know, the some of these undersized defensive backs like Nick Needham and Montre Hardage have gotten on the roster and surprised a little bit. So maybe he does that too. Yeah. Carl Tucker goes to Alabama from UNC and doesn't catch a pass. Doesn't really do anything but block, but did get on the field a lot for them. And I'm sorry, Paul, were you going to say there?
Yeah, so, Cap, I thought you were done with the undrafteds. I was going to just say I have a massive favor now that we're closing out this Dolphins draft to ask of you. Mm-hmm. And, Rachel, if you're listening, please help me out with this. Cap, make this the year you don't buy a free agent or drafted player's jersey. I beg of you. No shirt with their picture on it. No, nothing with their, don't even like write their name in marker on the back of a t-shirt. Like, please, please, please.
Not even a t-shirt. You don't have to worry about that. Those days are over of getting active players. After I got Minka Fitzpatrick, and he was then traded 3 weeks later. Now I'm out, because he was the one player was like, there's no way he's going to get traded. There's just not going to happen. And then like the next day, you started hearing rumblings. So the curse is real. There's no doubt about that.
You even got Minka's mom involved, man. Like,
man. So I will end on this here with the Dolphins draft here. I will plant my flag one last time and say this. I wish the Dolphins would have taken Penei Sewell at 6 over Jalen Waddle, and then come back at 49 and you still have Rondale Moore on the board. I would rather have Penei Sewell and Rondale Moore over Jalen Waddle and Liam Eichenberg. And the third round pick too. So, but I get it. I really do. And I think that these four players that Dolphins got, I think they will start. And I think they're a perfect fit for what they're looking to do. And when you factor in that they still got a first round pick in 2023 and a fourth round pick here next year, you know, overall, I'm going to say the Dolphins, when you factor it all in, I agree with a lot of the draft pundits. I think when you all encompassing the Dolphins had, you can make the case that the best draft in the NFL.
Yeah. And for me, I would absolutely agree with that. And I think you hit the nail on the head when they said, or when you said that they found the guys that are going to do the things that they want to do. And at the end of the day, one of the things I really like about this draft class is, from what I've seen, from what I've heard, and just a little bit of gut feeling, they did something else that Flores has said is tremendously important to him. Greer has said is tremendously important to him. Not only did they get smart leaders, they took guys that love football. And that can't be underrated. When you're having fun out there, you're gonna pull something up for when push comes to shove. You're gonna play a little bit better. And you're going to have fun, and that fun starts to get infectious amongst players. And that's something that Flores and Greer have put a premium on, and they got it in spades. Guys that, if you're enjoying it, you can find that extra gear when you need it. Whereas if you're just out there collecting a paycheck, at some point, you're a little more likely to just say, screw it.
Yes. I look at the second and third round picks of the Dolphins, you know, going back to what I said before, if, you know, I had put out a mock draft at the beginning of the day saying we got Javon Holland, Liam Eichenberg, and Hunter Long, and gave up a third rounder, you'd probably be pretty underwhelmed if we're being honest with ourselves here. But what I have to remind myself too is that last year when the Dolphins took Robert Hunt, Raekwon Davis, and Brandon Jones in the second and third round, really in the same areas, I was kind of, you know, because we get caught up in the upside of everything with these draft prospects. But, you know, Robert Hunt was a great pick now, at least after the first year. Raekwon Davis certainly was. And Brandon Jones, very, very promising as that third safety. So that's encouraging for me that the Dolphins took in Holland, Eichenberg, and Long kind of the same football players that fit the culture, that fit the team, and were productive, most importantly, in college.
Yeah, and God, it's the football IQ. It can't be underrated. It's these guys have motors. They're smart football players, and they understand what's going on around them, not just what they're supposed to do. And if you can get a whole lot of guys like that, it's those moments that are questionable, you know, they're going to be out there and have that idea what's going on, and you're going to see some sneaky good things out of it. And I, you know, yeah, if you want to talk about being underwhelmed, like, there was some confusion at times with this draft, but sitting back and looking at it objectively, you end up really enjoying what happened.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And some people, mentioned in the chat too about my Sewell comment, and Dolphins maniacs that let's see, picking a player doesn't mean that the same guys will be there later. Well, in this case it does. I mean, if you took Sewell at 6, Phillips at 18, you could still take Holland at 36, and Rondale Moore would have been there.
Yeah.
At at 50. So yeah, but look, again, if I'm pleased with the Dolphins draft, I give it an A or an A minus, and I think it's one of the best in the league. No, I'm excited about what they did here. Were there a few things I would have done a little bit differently or wanted them to do a little differently? Sure, but not many. So I expected them to take Waddle. I mocked him. We did two mock drafts on here. I had him taking Jalen Waddle, and so I'm certainly not surprised by it, and he certainly fits. So, Kat, Paul, anything else jump out?
Yeah, real quick, Jat Hammer just put out there, and thank you, Jat. Adore you, dude. He wants to know if you buy a Josh Allen jersey, if it will have the same effect. And I don't know, it might be worth the test.
He'll win MVP if I were to do that. So
all those fumbles that went out of bounds may come back inbounds. Like there is like Josh Allen improved tremendously, and I'm not going to spend a huge amount of time on the soapbox. We'll have plenty of time this offseason to talk about it. I remember I was talking to Travis Wingfield about this a little bit. There was nobody out there that threw more, should have been intercepted balls, had more fumbles that happened to tumble out of bounds instead of inbounds. Like, he is still prime and rife for turnovers. And you watch the way he carries the ball when he goes sprinting down the field like a deer. He's got it out there like this. Like this. And that's there is that propensity for mistakes to suddenly turn into a snowball. Yes, he's a tremendous talent. He's a tremendous talent.
Could not disagree more. Josh Allen is an MVP candidate.
He is, as long as those fumbles keep going out of bounds.
If they do, he'll fumble once a game and still throw for 400 yards.
Have to fumble if you keep turning it over.
It sucks that Josh Allen is as great as he is. I didn't think it would happen, but he is, and that's where the Dolphins need to get to with Tua at the quarterback spot.
We'll get to that debate later. But
so overall, great draft for the Dolphins. Great draft season, with Paul and. But, you know, I really, really enjoy this draft season with you, Paul, here, and the rest of the crew here at Chat. Thanks for sticking with us here every week. Thanks for everything that you all do out there. We've appreciated the conversation and absolutely look forward to this every week. So that's going to do it here for our breakdown of the Dolphins draft class, as well as a few other things going on with them. I'm Brian Catt, NFL. Paul is Fanatic_pick on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, FinFanatic.com and the Fansided Networks, excuse me. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.